KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in West Menlo Park.
Haight-Ashbury.
I live in the Western Addition.
Coming up, an update on how the racially charged events in Charlottesville and Washington, D.C. are impacting the Bay Area. Then we'll see what happens when you measure air pollution block by block.
There's nothing in the paperwork when you buy your condo that says that you are now exposing yourself and your children to high levels of diesel particulate.
Also, we'll meet the men behind the largest South Asian comedy festival in America.
When immigrants talk about immigrant comedy situations, it does sound more funny because it's more true.
And we'll hear how a Bay Area band forged its own unique identity.
And it's exactly what the music is. It's that force of nature with the sound backed with information.
Forces of nature today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. We're starting today's show by welcoming in KALW's news director, Ben Trefney, to talk about what's happening today. Hey, Ben.
Hi. There is so much going on, as usual, Hana. And throughout this weekend, we've seen protests all over the Bay Area. In fact, we're hearing some of Saturday's protests in downtown Oakland right now about what's going on in Charlottesville. And meanwhile, there are some Bay Area connections that have come clear. Mm-hmm. A worker at a Berkeley hot dog chain has lost his job after being outed on social media as being one of the Charlottesville white supremacist protesters. Also, KQED is reporting how one of the organizers of that white supremacist rally in Charlottesville had a history of organizing similar rallies that we saw earlier this year in Berkeley. Mm. His name is Nathan D'Amigo. He's from Stanislaus County, and he's the founder of a white nationalist group called Identity Europa. So meanwhile, today outside of San Francisco City Hall, San Francisco City Attorney Dennis Herrera joined State Attorney General Xavier Becerra to file lawsuits against the federal government. And now these have to do with Jeff Sessions, the U.S. Attorney General, threatening to withhold grant funding for so-called sanctuary cities and regions. He wants federal immigration agents to have unlimited access to local detention facilities, among other things. So in announcing these lawsuits, Xavier Becerra said he doesn't actually see this as a fight against the federal government.
We're trying to abide by the words of the Constitution that left all those powers that are not enumerated in the Constitution for the federal government to the states and the local governments. We're not trying to fight against Donald Trump and his administration. We're trying to preserve the words of the Constitution.
But honestly, Hana, I don't know about that. It seems really the city and the state are pretty much concerting their efforts to tie up whatever the federal government is doing at every possible turn.
Okay, Ben, thanks for the update. That's KALW's news director, Ben Trefney. West Oakland has had an air pollution problem for years. Emergency room visits for asthma are highly concentrated in West Oakland and Emeryville, but they drop off dramatically when you get to other parts of Oakland. A new study is focusing on this variation. Researchers mounted air quality monitors on Google Street View cars and sampled the air every 100 feet in West Oakland. Then they created a heat map that shows pollutants can be up to 6 times as concentrated from one block to the next. KALW's Laura Wenis has more.
Roosevelt King is out on his front steps on Linden Street in West Oakland reading the paper.
Well, this is my father-in-law's paper. Yeah, local paper. He started this paper.
His house stands out on the block because it's nearly covered in plants. Though they're pretty, they're mainly there to help control his asthma.
I try to keep a lot of greenery around me, shrubbery, to help me breathe better. Even in my house, a lot of plants.
Asthma, lung disease, and bronchitis are common in this neighborhood. Within a few blocks of King's house, I ran into 3 other people with respiratory illnesses.
I don't know how many others do walk around with asthma and trying to deal with it.
That's because air pollution is highly concentrated in this area. But it varies a lot, even within the neighborhood. A new study from the Environmental Defense Fund, Google Street View, and the West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project shows a big difference in pollution levels from King's Block to the next. Because the study uses mobile monitors on cars, it shows what traditional stationary air quality monitors can't.
So we have been doing our air monitoring based on a fact called ground truthing, where
people are, all right? So finally, I guess technology has caught up to be able to do ground surface measurements.
Margaret Gordon is the co-founder of the West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project. She's been tracking ground level pollution for years.
Through the wind currents, where the pollution is, the trucks are on the ground, the trucks are not in the air, right? Trucks are on the ground.
The study shows diesel pollution is heaviest along highways and roads. For example, researchers found that pollution near the Bay Bridge on-ramp was particularly bad. They think it's because vehicles are speeding up there, spewing diesel particles into the air. Possibly the worst measurements on the map came up at 3rd and Adeline Streets. I went to check it out. This is one of the routes to the Port of Oakland.
Trucks only come here because of the Port of Oakland. Why would trucks? Because there's another other industrial base use for trucks to be here outside from the Port of Oakland. We don't have Nabisco Cracker Company here. Mm-hmm. We don't have Berkeley Farms here. We don't have Granny Goose Chips here. We don't have any manufacturing here. So why would trucks be here?
The port has been working on significantly reducing emissions. Internal studies show that diesel particulate from trucks operating at the port dropped 95% over 10 years. It now has higher standards for truck engines, requires appointments for cargo pickups, and is planning new warehouses closer to docks. These numbers and fixes concern what happens on port properties. Outside that boundary, truck traffic is still a major polluter. But in some areas mapped by the mobile monitors, it's a complete mystery where the pollution is coming from.
Because we've been you 40, 45 years. And when I came here, I didn't have any asthma.
Remember Roosevelt King on his steps with all the greenery? Well, he lives on a street that the new study actually indicates is pretty clean. Except for one spot in the middle of the block. I asked King and a few other neighbors about this, and nobody was really sure of the answer.
I'm seen to be in the middle of myself. I don't know. Tell me.
A few people speculated it might be related to ongoing construction on one of the houses. Another person suggested it might be trucks idling on a nearby median. I didn't find the answer, but it illustrates how different one pocket of air can be from the next.
We suspected that different parts of the neighborhood had different kinds of air quality because of the activities that take place outside your front door.
And why does that matter? Brian Beveridge, who also works at the West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project, says exhaust isn't seen as dangerous the same way other factors like lead are.
There's nothing in the paperwork when you buy your condo next to the freeway that says that you are now exposing yourself and your children to high levels of diesel particulate, which is known to cause cancer, asthma, hypertension, brain tumors. You know, no one tells you that.
Beveridge says this data helps make the connection between exhaust and real health effects.
So we begin to draw a line from the big source to the small source to the localized exposure to the actually being able to say that you have these chemicals in your blood that demonstrate your exposure. And then if you actually have, you know, exposure-related illness, it's almost a smoking gun at that point, right?
That smoking gun illustrates that pollution is affecting people now, and you don't necessarily have to live next to a refinery to feel it. In fact, one block could make all the difference. In San Francisco, I'm Laura Wenis for Cross Currents.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. The Desi Comedy Festival is one of the only South Asian comedy festivals in America, and it's definitely the largest, with dozens of comedians. It's happening right now with shows in 9 cities all over the Bay, from Livermore to Mill Valley to Santa Cruz, and plenty of places in between. Co-creators and comedians Samson Koletkar and Abhay Nadkarni joined me in studio to talk about South Asian comedy. I started by asking what Desi means.
For me, Desi is a broader term. It means anyone that's South Asian. You know, Pardesi is a Hindi word that means someone living outside of your country. You know, so Pardesi is
alien.
An immigrant.
So we should call it Pardesi comedy.
I'm sure someone will come up with that and call it the
Pardesi. So Pakistani,
comedy.
Bangladesh, exactly. All
Nepal,
of those are Desi.
Sri Lanka, yeah. Everybody in the South Asian
Bhutan,
continent, everybody in
Tibet.
Yeah, we'll take all of them.
Excellent.
And you also got to realize Indians don't like to travel too much, right? That's why we never invaded any other country. We're like, no, I think we're fine where we are. Going somewhere and invading is too far, too much work.
And we're lazy.
So nobody from Sunnyvale is coming up to San Francisco. They're like, that's too far. My kids, who's going to watch them?
Yeah.
They don't believe in babysitters. They'll believe in 3 million guards. So it's a weird community that we belong to.
So you're taking it to them.
We're like, all right, if you don't come to us, we'll come to you.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're serving them comedy.
you know your audience very well.
Yeah. We grew up amongst them. We are one of them. We are our own audience in some way. Like, I love watching all these folks who are on the show. And most of us are based out of the Bay Area and Sacramento. So everybody wants to be a part of this now. Yeah. It's kind of like catching up.
Is there a big comedy scene in India?
Yeah, it's massive. Very big. It's growing, and there's a huge, huge interest in comedy because
huge demand.
I think there's a cultural zeitgeist happening in India right now where people are just listening to all kinds of media. The internet has changed things a lot. They see a lot of comedy on YouTube, clips from the Laugh Factory, Comedy Central specials. So the ease of access to comedy is really grown a lot, and people want to see content. They consume content so quickly that they're always hungry for more. There's a huge scene in India right now.
What is it about immigrant jokes that make them so funny? What is that? What do you think that is, Samson?
I would look at it as two things, right? One is it's the truth and relatable, coming especially from an immigrant. There's always this thing about if I am brown and I make fun of somebody that's not brown, then people get a little stiff about it. It's like, whoa. Hold on, right? As an example, one of the things I talk about, I'm not doing the whole bit, but I talk about how I can tell you a statement and you can tell me whether it's a stereotype or if it's racist.
Mm-hmm.
And the statement is black people. And now you're already thinking that's racist, right? Because I'm not black. You know what I mean? Like, I just pause there even before I've completed the statement. I'm not even finishing the statement and people have, something racist is coming out
Something's coming.
You know what I mean?
Pavlovian thing.
Exactly, right? So that, I think, plays a big role into this. When immigrants talk about immigrant comedy situations, it does sound more funny because it's more true. And
so you can laugh about your people, but
more
not
easily.
About other people.
And I think that's the challenge is, for me, after that pause, I still do have a joke that I do make about black people, and I still want people to laugh about it, right? The key is, I think, as the saying goes, you got to take yourselves down first before you take others down with you. And so if I can make joke of myself, and I can joke about Indians, I can joke about Jews, I can joke about husbands, I can joke about fathers, because all of that is me. And once I'm able to laugh at myself, people relax a little more. And they're like, okay, if he can... He's taking a shot at himself and his own communities. All the boxes that we have squeezed him into, he's making fun of those boxes. Now we can let him get into the other boxes a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's always the challenge for me is, like Abhay said earlier, everything's fair game. There's no topic off limits. There's nothing off the table. Everything is okay for comedy. It always makes a difference about how you go about doing it. Are you putting somebody down? Are you making a point about... or trying to raise someone up.
You mentioned you are Indian and you are Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear a clip that, a hilarious clip really about that.
Now I am happy right now because my wife and I are having our first baby. Thank you. But let me clarify one thing first, because the minute I say my wife and I, some people go, dude, where's your ring? Now I had a ring and unfortunately I lost it. Better the ring than the wife, you know. But then I bought another ring, and unfortunately I lost that too. And look, people, I am Indian and Jewish. There's no way I'm buying a third ring.
So that is Samson Kolhatkar, a.k.a.
Mahatma Moses.
Mahatma Moses. So then that's an example of you kind of just taking a stab at yourself and Jewish people, but you're Jewish, so it's okay.
Yeah, and that's actually the lightest of jokes that you picked, which I'm glad you did, because I go after Jews quite so hard, right? And I do the same with Indians too. Like wherever we see inconsistency, we will point it out. And stupidity comes in all shapes, colors, sizes, genders, religions. And that's what we like to highlight.
That's Desi Comedy Fest co-creators Samson Kolhatkar and Abhay Nadkarni. The festival is happening every day through Sunday in cities all around the Bay Area. Head to klw.org and click Cross Currents to find out when the funny is near you. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. When Deuce Eclipse and Juan Manuel Caipo joined forces in 2008, they wanted to make music that could do two things: provide information and make beats that bang. Their band, called Bang Data, does just that. Deuce Eclipse comes from the world of hip-hop as an MC and a b-boy, while Juan mostly played rock before joining the band. Together, both Juan and Deuce combine influences from other genres, too, from cumbia to hip-hop to metal. Bang Data came into KALW studios to talk about their music and play some acoustic versions of their favorite tracks in this edition of Bay Area Beats.
We met in 2008, yep, in Oakland, California, the historic West Oakland.
That's when the bromance started.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, let the bromance begin.
Me despierto con música en mi mente y todos saben que yo soy el presidente. El Nica Mexica, el pinolero, residente americano, nacido con corazón nicaragüense.
My name is Juan Manuel Caipo. They call me Caipo, and I play drums, and I'm a producer in Bang Data. Well, I was born in, I'm from a Peruvian family. I was born in Los Angeles, and anyways, went to Peru, came back, started playing music. All my folks, family are musicians.
I am Deuce Eclipse, a.k.a. Coqui Calavera, the singer, MC. I am a Bay Area native, one of the many rare species that you see walking around the streets nowadays. I was first generation born here in the United States from Nicaraguan parents from Central America. And my father was a singer as well, you know, and a guitar player, organ player. And so I grew up with a lot of the old school music.
We hear when you come to the show. So here we go, here we go. Si, prende este fuego ya, todo mundo pa bailar. No tiempo pa descansar, yo canto el paso limar. Esta rola pa mi son mi palafa.
We first started playing together. I was working on a solo album with a producer here from the Bay Area. And I don't want to say he hit like a wall, but he kind of, I was taking it to a real Latino kind of avenue, more Spanish and singing. So he asked around for some people. We passed some names around, and Caipo came up, and he came to one of my shows. From there, we went to the studio like that week, and we pretty much started recording. We started, you know, fusing our interests together. He comes from the more rockero rock world. I come from the more hip-hop world, and we kind of meshed them together. And we're influenced, I feel, by the same kind of things, but individually, we do it differently, but when we put it together, that's what creates Bang Data.
This song is called Mucho Poco, and it's the self-titled track from our album, Mucho Poco. It's celebrating love, but at the same time, it's a bittersweet song because it expresses the end of a relationship, you know. Mucho poco, pero poco mucho, mi amor es
loco, pero no está roto. Mucho poco, pero poco. It's kind of a weird thing to say, but what is the term oxymoron when you say two words that are almost the opposite in the world? I'm not sure the definition, but mucho is like a lot and poco is like a little. So the song is like, you know, a lot and a little all at the same time, kind of like in the sense of the little things count, you know, as well. Like a lot of the little things is what in the song, you know, they were lacking, or what was lacking in the love relationship and why it kind of fell apart.
It's more of a transition about a new stage in life, really. Pero dime dónde estás. Pero dime dónde estás.
All right. Listo?
Let's do it.
This song is They Don't Know, and it's basically just about the story of my parents coming here and just the experience of being a first generation born, you know, Latino in the Bay Area, and just how it feels when you can't speak English, for instance. Yo, my dad was in the blur. I know it's so tough being him. And my mammy's so depressed. And how did all of this begin? And there is love in this house, but this country gave us doubts. And it's like if you talk back, they like hush your mouth. Pero no me conoces. Yo soy un toro conmigo. You walk around with this idea that they don't know what I'm saying, or they don't know how I feel. You know, they'll never know because they don't understand my culture, and I'm not speaking your language. But, you know, it morphs into everybody. You know, you walk down the street and you see somebody, you'll never know what they're really thinking or feeling. You know, it's that feeling of being separate in the world.
We never consider ourselves to be a political band, but I think, especially where we're at, like in this time and age, you can't help it because you start expressing yourself, whether it's in a show or through songs. It might not be direct or very obvious what the lyric is about, but definitely there is a sense of you know, a social political message. You know, whether you're an immigrant or whether you're talking about, you know, sorrow and love, about, you know, it could be a family, it could be, you know, it could be friendship, it could be the stress and the pressure of times of, you know, trying to come up and stay afloat, you know, trying to find, you know, trying to make a living. I think the responsibility, I think us as humans or artists, yeah, we definitely have a microphone on stage, you know, we have recording capabilities, but I wouldn't tie ourselves into like, it's, we have to do this. I think it should really come from the heart. And I think as people, you know, we're just sharing our experiences as Latinos and, you know, from second generation Latinos from here in the United States. And we're watching the change of times like right in front of us. So whatever happens today or tomorrow, I'm sure we'll be either singing about it or talking about it.
I live by a motto, which is, you know, the Creator gave us a piece of ourselves that's for the world. And you always have to give that part of yourself to the world. That's what it's there for. You know, we're not here to like barrel it down your face or anything like that. But it's in the music, and it's always going to be in the music as long as I'm behind a microphone, because that's just how I was raised. You know, I'm close to the community. I care about my people. I care about the world. So that's always going to be, I feel, a part of Bang Data sound.
No me conoces. That was Deucey Clips and Juan Manuel Caipo of Oakland band Bang Data. The piece was produced by Jen Chien. You can catch Bang Data live on August 17th at the Undercover Show at SF Jazz. All that information is at KALW.org. Click Cross Currents. And that's all for today's show. Our team includes Nina Gensler-Debs, Gabe Graben, Angela Johnston, Zoe Liu, Lisa Morehouse, Ariel Plotnick, Stephen Short, Judy Silber, and Jackie Sajiko. The show is engineered by James Rollins. The line producer is Hannah Kingsley-Ma. Jen Chien is our managing editor. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba. He's so headstrong, with no regrets for the world. And yo, my dad was in the blur, know it's so tough being him. And my mama so depressed, and how did all of this begin? There is love in this house, but this country gave us doubts. And it's like if you talk back, they like hush your